Proverbs chapter 30. We're in verse 24. Proverbs 30, verse 24. We're taking it line by line, and verse by verse, and word by word. We have in this section of Proverbs 30 something that we call a quaternary. Quaternary is just something that is four lines or four principles giving you a category in the Word of God. Now, in verses 24 through 28, we have our fifth quaternary, which is four small things that remind us of the grace of God. You know, many people come to know Christ as their personal Savior through things that are found in nature. Some people come to know Christ as their personal Savior through seeing some other people in a worship service or going to church or praying. Some people are led to the Lord by a track or some person witnessing to them. Some persons, I know a person who was aware of God because they used to lay out on the field, as it were, and look up into the skies and saw all of that stars and meteors and everything else and was struck, as it were, by the fact that there has to be some design behind that. So many people come to know Christ as their personal Savior many different ways. In our passage now, we have something where God in His matchless grace has taken the whole world as it is. Individuals, angels, rain, snow, trees, agricultural production, stars, planets. And He's pulled out all the stops, as it were, so there wouldn't be one person who has never heard about Jesus Christ and who has never had the opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. See, the Scripture says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so because of the fact that God the Father wants every member of the human race to have a relationship with Him through Christ, He's pulled out all the stops. Now we have a passage, in case you don't believe that fact or that principle, we have a principle right now in verses 24 through 28. Ants even teach us. Do you know what a coney is? There's a word coming up, coney. I thought it was crony. But it's coney, and I don't even know what a coney is. I thought maybe that was a small ice cream. What's a coney? When you read that, what does it mean? Who said rabbit? Oh, these English are so far advanced. She knew exactly. I lost my whole point. You know? Great. That's exactly what it is. A coney is a rabbit. So we have ants and we have rabbits. And then we have something like a he-goat. I don't know what a he-goat is, you know. And then we have situations like this. Doth not even nature teach us? All right. In verses 24 through 28, we have four small things that teach us about the grace of God. And so behind this particular quaternary, four things, is the principle of the grace of God. Apart from the grace of God, you can't even function as a member of the human race. Now, you may not be aware of that, but that's true. We are saved by grace, and we live by grace. Stage one is salvation. And in stage one, and or salvation, God does all the work. In stage two, which means after a person has accepted Christ as their personal Savior, they're now here on earth in time. And stage two is the Christian way of life. And again, God does all the work. Stage one, for example, the cross. Christ died for our sins and He took our place. Sin is no longer the issue. The issue is the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In stage two, the Christian way of life, God the Holy Spirit does all the work. And that's the grace of God. Salvation is the work of God in grace. Life in eternity is the work of God. The Father planned it. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, executed stage one. The Holy Spirit executes stage two, and the Father executes stage three. So that means that when we face this passage here, there is no place in the plan of God, in God's grace, for the work of man, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His grace, He saved us. And this means a believer cannot be spiritual because he observes some taboos, or because he renounces a few things in life. Or some cases they contemplate infinity and agonize in the closet, or live on bird seed and lettuce leaves. You know, bird seed is for birds, and lettuce leaves are for rabbits. I don't know why people would relegate themselves to contemplating infinity and trying to become a Mahatma Gandhi and eat bird seeds and lettuce leaves. Spirituality is the work of God. Spirituality is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. So in stage one, salvation, and in stage two, spirituality, we always face the same issue. Divine work versus human work. Or grace versus works. Or divine good versus human good. Grace is one term that defines divine good. Grace always equals God doing the work. Man simply receives what God does. Grace always depends upon the character of God, who and what God is, and grace always glorifies God. Religion and or legalism equals man doing the work, and God is supposed to bless man on the basis of man's works. Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, said, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight." When God does it, it's divine good. And when man does it, it's human good and no good. Now, this quaternary here is designed to illustrate the principle of the grace of God. If you have never understood anything about the grace of God, even though you're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourself, and it's a gift of God, not of works, even though you may not understand that, we have some things coming up now that will help you to orient to it. We have four small things now, four helpless members of the animal kingdom. Verse 24, there are four things which are little upon the earth. But here's a conjunction of contrast. But they are exceeding wise. Now, this expression that you have little upon the earth is a reference to the fact that man is the recipient of God's grace. Because man is helpless, useless, and hopeless. So that everything depends upon the provision of God. Now, God's plan, for example, is greater than any problem or any disaster or any difficulty or any heartache which we have ever had. God's plan is greater than any situation that we will ever face in life. And the utilization of God's plan and the assets that accompany it depends upon understanding and applying to the situation this word here, wise. Now, we have this illustrated for us. It says, small, but wise. Little or small is an adjective, and it means little in the sense of being hopeless and helpless. There are four things, this verse says, which are helpless on the earth. But even though they are helpless and hopeless, they are exceeding wise. They survive because of something they know. See, we survive because of something we know. Throughout the Word of God, you always hear this phrase, "Know ye not? Know ye not? Know ye not?" And then it says, "Knowing this, we have confidence. Knowing this, we have confidence." And then it says, "Be not ignorant," and "be not ignorant." And constantly the Holy Spirit is pounding upon knowledge, knowledge of God's Word, which is the greatest virtue in this life. So here are things that are small, but they survive because of something they know. The whole point is this, that we have the greatest virtue in the Christian way of life, and that is to know the plan of God, to know the Word of God, because that is definitely the greatest virtue in life. Now, there are some enemies to knowing the Word of God. One of the greatest enemies is legalism, the do-it-yourself kit, the intrusion of human good into God's plan. A second element of distraction and disturbance would be emotionalism. People depend upon how they feel rather than what the Word of God has to say. A third great enemy is sincerity. People think that it doesn't make any difference what you know, just as long as you're sincere. You can be sincerely wrong, though, as per a lot of elections. You know, 50 million people can't be wrong if they are. It just tells you that so many people have made wrong decisions. Never, ever does the Bible command anyone to be sincere. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to know the Word of God. We are commanded to walk by means of the Holy Spirit. And we're commanded to operate on the principle of God's grace. Now, a fourth great enemy is human viewpoint, which is the absence of the Word of God in the mind. You see, the great virtue is to know the Word and apply it. That's this word wisdom here, or wise. This is the principle that is constantly emphasized. And when we know the Word of God, we understand the plan of God, and that results in orientation to the grace of God, and it causes a positive attitude towards the Word of God. And it results in God doing the work, and which is the principle that we had at the Exodus, stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. You have often heard that old cliche, God helps those that help themselves. That's right out of the pit. That's Satan's ace trump. God helps them that help themselves. Actually, the Bible says, with these four illustrations, God helps the helpless. We are helpless at the point of salvation. We cannot possibly save ourselves, so God provides salvation. He helps us. And that's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then when it comes to fulfilling the Christian way of life, it's a supernatural way of life, humanly impossible to execute. And therefore we have the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, so we can execute it. So the believer then is pictured as helpless. And God is the one who provides for him. And these are the illustrations of that principle that we have in this particular passage. You will notice again the emphasis at the end of verse 24 is the word wisdom. Wisdom means to know the Word and to apply the Word. Wisdom is the application of the Word of God to your experience. Now, verse 25 begins this quaternary. And first of all, we meet the ant. The ant is declared to be weak in this way. Verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. I didn't know that ants ate meat. See what I'm saying? There's a King James English again. Ants are not strong. Practically anything can wipe out an ant, except if it's a red ant. You can step on them. Anything rules over an ant. Ants are very vulnerable. An ant is called a people here, not strong, to illustrate the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born into the family of God, spiritually helpless, useless, and hopeless. We have an old sin nature. We have nothing to recommend us to God. We may be acceptable to other people, the basis of personality, attractiveness, status symbols, and other details of life, but details of life mean absolutely nothing to God. See, people are impressed with details, but God isn't. People are impressed with good health and beauty and status symbols and social life and pleasures. Money impresses people. But you see, without the Lord, those details are not sustaining. They are transient. But God is not transient. See, details come and go. It's after April the 15th. Details come and go. All right? But the Lord doesn't come and go. He's the same yesterday and forever. You know what? You can be ugly and happy. Now, that's hard to communicate. But you can. You can be poor and still be happy, and that's hard to communicate. You can be ugly and poor and be happy. How about that? God has a plan, and it's a perfect plan. But this plan of God's and utilizing its assets takes wisdom, application of the Word of God to your experience. The last word in verse 24, wisdom, is apply. But you can't apply what you don't know. Hearers of the Word makes doers of the Word. But it said, be not hearers only, see? But be doers, and that's application of the Word of God to experience. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom. And it was a very interesting prayer request. He said, Lord, I want wisdom to deal with your people. And so he was asking for application of the Word of God to experience. And God told him how to deal with his people. And when you have zero in your mind, when it comes to the divine viewpoint of life, you can only apply what you have in your mind. And since there's no divine viewpoint, the only thing that you can apply is human viewpoint and sometimes satanic viewpoint. Now, we're going to have four illustrations here. And these are four things that are helpless, and yet they're wise. The first one is an ant. It says, a people not strong. In other words, the Holy Spirit simply compares the ant to them to survive in a very wonderful and marvelous way. When I went to school in Florida, they had a course on creation. And they were showing how that evolution was a farce. And so one of the illustrations was the army ant. I don't know if you ever studied the army ant or not. But you know, if an ant was trying to cross the river, the ant would drown. And what they do is they gather together in a big ball on this shore. And then they roll over. So one is wet and one is dry, one is wet, one is dry, and they make it to the other side.
And then this book, this scientist, was showing how that it couldn't evolve because they die in midstream. So here we have a very interesting thing. They're not strong, and yet they do something that causes them to survive in a very wonderful and marvelous way. Notice it says, yet they prepare their food, the word meat here is food, in the summer. Now the summer, you know, vacations, beach, you know, represents the period of prosperity in your life. Everyone has a period of prosperity or quietness or tranquility which is free from disasters, catastrophes, and it may be a period of success or prosperity. It varies. And this is really the concentrated learning period of life. Winter, see, is the picture in Scripture of a time of pressure and adversity. And you know the passage that talks about the tribulation in Matthew? And it says, pray not that it be in winter. So you have summer as a time of peace and tranquility and prosperity, and winter as adversity. So what do we get from this? We learn something from the ant. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ must always prepare his spiritual food, the Word of God, in the summer, before the disaster hits, before the catastrophe hits, before the tragedy and the pressure occurs. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ must learn the Word of God under normal conditions in order that he might use it under abnormal conditions. That's the secret. You know, when a pressure comes on you, you just can't get it then. You have to have it beforehand. You learn it in a normal situation in church or Bible class. Everything is comfortable and relaxed, and you learn the Word so that you can apply it in abnormal conditions. Memorial Day is a perfect illustration. The military is a good example of this. Basic training is where they teach you to do all sorts of things automatically. I enlisted in the Army, and Lonnie told me that was a mistake. You know, I should enlist in the Marine Corps. But you see, I was young at the time. And I was trying to get away from the situation that I was in. So I did. When I went in, I had 13 weeks of basic training someplace down in Anniston, Alabama. You know, I don't even know where that is till today. They had a lump of clay on the side of the road, and they called that Anniston, Alabama. They had one jukebox in town that said, no letter today, I've waited so long. Beautiful. Now this sergeant is beating you over the head with a stick. We went through this for 13 weeks. After the 13 weeks is over, they just assign everybody to different outfits and organization. I'm standing there all alone. I said, Sarge, what about me? He said, they lost your papers. You've got to go over it again 13 more weeks. That was really interesting. I was just about to die. Because if you go into it not knowing, it's one thing. But now when you know what you're going to go through, you don't want to go through it. But I'll tell you what. I was lost without Christ, without hope, without eternal life at that time. Those extra 13 weeks probably prepared me so that I could get through that situation and come out on the other side. And I was still lost. But God allowed me to live long enough so I could accept Christ as my personal Savior. And when I look back on those things, I can see how in His wisdom, He was so gracious to me, even put me through that 13 weeks again. So I would have an opportunity to exercise my faith in Christ as Savior. But you see, this principle here is important. Basic training is where they teach you to do all sorts of things automatically. Close order drill is a principle to fire different weapons over and over again. They teach you how to take your weapon apart blindfolded and assemble it together again blindfolded. And you go over and over and over these things. And you can do them in your sleep. And you do them in your sleep. And you do those things under normal conditions. And when you get to the abnormal condition, combat, you're able to do these things as if you were under normal conditions. It becomes habit. Now, this is a picture, this ant, Summer, is a picture of a believer who learns the Word of God just as the ant in the summer gathers his food for the winter. So the wise believer here, in context, gathers the Word of God under normal conditions, summertime. So under normal, quiet situations, you are tested to see before the Lord if you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are as smart as an ant. Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you are or you aren't. That's something you have to answer before the Lord. In these normal times that we have the opportunity to get the Word of God. And so you have to ask yourself a question when you look at the ant. Did you get the Word of God? Well, you know, next year may be the year of disaster. It could be a year of war, all sorts of things. It may be that you will have a personal catastrophe, such as losing a loved one. You know, throughout the years that we've been here as a church, I don't know how many people that I know who have lost loved ones. That's a personal catastrophe. I've known people who have lost their jobs. That's a personal catastrophe. Or even, you may even lose the detail upon which you have been dependent, and it's taken from you. See, those things that you rely on and occupy most of your time, if they're taken away from you and you're not as smart as the ant, you're going to be in serious trouble. And you will go with the details right out the window. You know, if your security is money, and the money goes, you go too. You go with it. You know, someone said the other day, money talks. I said, yeah, it says goodbye. That's what it says, especially in our society. Notice this, it says, prepare your food in the summer. Unless you prepare your food in the summer, you'll fall apart in winter. Maybe even suicide. Some will be shocked and some broken up and so caught up with the disasters of life that you'll not be prepared for them. Now the ant prepares for summer. When the food is available. When the situation is normal. And inevitably, when you face disaster, you'll go to someone and you may cry. And you'll expect someone to wave a wand over you and make everything all right. And you'll become childlike to a mother or a father who has fallen off of its bike and say, make it stop hurting, mommy. But there are no shortcuts when it comes to Christianity. There are no magic wands, as it were. It's the Word of God that you have learned in the summer. It's the Word of God that you've gathered in the summer that will help you in the winters of catastrophe and disaster. And if you have not learned the Word of God, there's no way to take up the slack. People try systems of self-hypnosis, and they pronounce some words, and they compound the problem by switching you to approbation lust, by making some sounds that pass as comfort, which are meaningless and useless. I've been to people previously in my life over tragedies that had happened in my life, and they said to me, I asked them, what should I do? And they say, well, don't cry. Everything will be all right. Time will take care of it. Time makes it worse. Time didn't take care of it. I got older and meaner and more miserable. The principle of Christianity is this. Every believer should be like this ant. You say, I don't want to be like no ant. Hey, ants are smarter than we are. Every believer should be like an ant. Every believer should be self-sustaining, see? This ant takes care of himself. Every believer is in full-time Christian service. I want you to notice that the ant doesn't go to the government for its food.
Oh, what happened?
The ant gets after it. You have the opportunity as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, living in the United States of America, celebrating Memorial Day, to gather this summer. The winter may be just around the corner. Whatever your winter happens to be. And when the winter comes, you're on your own. No one can help you. There's no way in which another person can put the Word of God into your mind. You must do it for yourself. No one can help you, as Peter said, to stir up your mind when there's nothing in your mind to put you in remembrance of. See, we should have collected the food in the summer. And when the winter comes, you've had it. And if you're miserable in the summer, you'll be twice as miserable in winter. The only hope for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and as our national entity is the Word of God. There is no other hope. Now, the ant is wise because he prepares for the winter by storing up food in the summer. Now, in Egypt, the Egyptian language was originally written in pictorial type words called hieroglyphics. And the Egyptian hieroglyphic has all been broken down some time ago by Egyptology. And in the breaking down of the hieroglyphics, there was one word that gave them a lot of trouble, and they finally discovered what it was: ant. It was a hieroglyphic. And it was drawn exactly like the ant. And the word ant in the Egyptian language is the word for wisdom. The Egyptians admired the wisdom of the ants. Now, the Arabs were so impressed with the ant also that they had a very strange custom. I don't want you to try it, but this is their custom. Whenever a child, a male child, was born into the family, the families, the females, for example, were never considered to be too important in the Arab culture. But every male child which was born, the Arab would catch an ant, or he would have an ant ready, and put the ant in the hand of the little child, and then double their fist. And with the ant in the child's fist, he would offer a prayer that sounded something like this: may he become wise and skillful like the ant, so forth. So the ant is used throughout the ancient world as an illustration of wisdom. And the wisdom that's applied here is the importance of having the Word of God in your mind. When disaster comes to you, how do you react to disaster? Or how do you respond to God in disaster depends on what is in your mind. If you have the Word of God, then you have inner happiness. If you have inner happiness, then there's no problem or difficulty or disaster in life too great for you. But if you are minus the Word of God in your mind, then you must revert to emotions. You'd have to be going with hysteria, misery, sorrow, panic, which even makes the disasters and the difficulties and the pressures even more difficult. So here is an ant. And the wisdom of God the Holy Spirit uses the ant here to give us an illustration of the grace of God. The ant prepares his food in a time when it's easy to get. And he's ready for the winter. Believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, learn from the ant. Learn the Word in a pleasant time so that you will have it stored up for the winter, which is a time of disaster. What does nature teach us? The ant is smart. It's small. It can be squashed in a second. But the ant has enough knowledge to get in its food in the summertime so that when winter hits, they're prepared. The second illustration is in verse 26. And this is our English verse. The conies are but a feeble folk. yet they make their houses in the rocks. A coney is a little desert rabbit, not a big jackrabbit, but a little desert rabbit that lives in Palestine. And this little rabbit, which is called by the Arabs Yabula, that's the Arab word for it, is a very vulnerable creature in the desert. It's called here a feeble folk. It's small, it's helpless, has not much in the way of defense. In boxing, they talk about rabbit punches. I don't know, I saw a fight the other day and a guy got rabbit punched. And a rabbit punch is very devastating. If you hit someone on the back of the neck, where it's very vulnerable, this punch really hurts. And it can hurt you pretty badly. It hurts this fellow pretty badly. But the rabbit here is really feeble. If you ever seen a rabbit box, you know they can't punch their way out of a paper bag. A rabbit can't punch at all. A rabbit can't fight. If you watch the cartoons, the coyote wins every time over the rabbit. When a wolf is fighting with a rabbit, I know immediately who's going to win. The wolf wins all the time. If a rabbit is fighting with a snake, I know who's going to win all the time. The snake's going to win, and the rabbit's usually going to end up inside the snake and have peace in their time. But the rabbit does have one ability, and that's speed. He's designed for speed. He defends himself by taking off. So this rabbit is fast. And this coney or rabbit actually lives in the rocks. Now the Hebrew says, cleft in the rock. What he actually does is he lives in the cleft in the rock. And a rabbit is chased by the coyote and he gets in the cleft and the coyote is too big. And the wolf is too big. The predators are too big, so he's always safe in the rock. And the rock, again, is the principle and context of the Word of God. And the Word of God must be in our minds. If the Word is your life, then everything else is a detail. And then you have Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, if the Word of God is your life and you have inner happiness, then you can enjoy the details of life. And if you don't have them, you still have the Lord, you still have the Word, you still have inner happiness. And details can be anything from health to money to success to materialistic symbols, pleasures, loved ones, all of these things of life which are considered important by someone somewhere at some time. And these are details, and if you have the Word, you can enjoy them. But if those details are wiped out, you still have inner happiness. You still have occupation with the person of Christ. So the coney here, or the rabbit, is smart. And it goes into the cleft of the rock. And this means that the believer must live in the Word and abide in the Word of God. See, sometimes it's a loved one, a wife or a husband, or a relative, and they go to be with the Lord. Or you've been dating someone, they tell you to get lost. We used to call that Dear John. Or they walk out on you and they phase you out. So you lose a loved one. What do? If you stay outside, you have had it because you're a coney. But if you get into the cleft of the rock, you're delivered. And you're secure. And you're safe and you're protected. Holy Spirit says, hey, coney, get in the cleft. You'll be perfectly safe from the disasters and the disappointments and the disillusions of life. No matter what it is in life, if you lose it, get into the cleft. Then you can be happy and nothing can bother you because you're safe and you're protected. So the coney, like the ant, illustrates something about the grace of God. The rabbit, along with the ant, illustrates the principle of grace. Doth not even nature teach you that the ant is small and feeble and can be squashed in a minute, but is wise? Isn't a coney small and runs from everything in life, but it's wise? The whole principle from the ant is learn the Word of God in the summer, you'll be prepared for the winter. And the whole lesson from the rabbit is get into the Word. And then the things that pursue you can't get to you. God is the rock. And we're in the rock. And it's like a wall of fire.
So we have two illustrations. Next time we'll take up the other two. The locusts have no king. And yet they go forth, all of them, by bands.
No leadership. And yet they survive without leadership. You are an individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not dependent upon another person but the Lord. And you live your life as unto the Lord. There are no leaders, as it were. We're all in full-time Christian service. You live your life as unto the Lord. And you take the Word and you apply it in your life. See? The locust has no king. Yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. They work together as a team, like the body of Christ. Well, we'll take it up next time, right at this point. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the following portion of our service this morning is for those of you who may be here without Christ, without hope, without eternal life. Maybe you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I have no way of knowing that. My responsibility is not to single you out and embarrass you in any way. My responsibility is not to have you join this church or be water baptized. That is not my responsibility at this time. My responsibility before the Lord this time, not knowing all of you, is to present Jesus Christ in such a way that you would want Him as your personal Savior. Now, I can't do that apart from God, the Holy Spirit, convicting you of unbelief in Christ. So I'm not going to make any false issues about it, that you have to stop this or start that. That's not the issue. All I'm going to do is use the Word of God, quote it, and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to convict you, if necessary, of unbelief in Christ. Jesus Christ came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, to become the sons of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ stood before them in John 6:47. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You can have everlasting life right now by simply accepting Christ as your personal Savior. You may say, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand some of these principles. Well, you don't have to understand it all when it comes to salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, convicts and convinces of unbelief in Christ. That's all it is. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, but God, the Holy Spirit, convicts you not of sin, but of unbelief in Christ. And you can say, I don't understand it all, but I know that Christ died for me. He had me in mind. He arose. And he ascended, he seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. On the basis of God's word and character, you can have eternal life right now by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. You have the opportunity to do that. No one's looking around. All their heads are bowed. Those who are believers are praying that there wouldn't be one person leaving this morning who is without Christ and without hope, without eternal life. For by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together this morning. We're thankful for those who complied with the principle of not forsaking themselves together. We're thankful for those who have prayed and participated in our ministry throughout all these times that we've been a local church. We're thankful for the support, spiritually, monetarily, so we can function as a local church. We're thankful for people who are interested in the Word of God and come study the Word of God so we can have fellowship through the Word. We commit this service to Thee. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen.